Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Let's go to the Western Hotline now because my man Sal Capaccio joins me, who is going to be busy today, I would bet. Sal, thanks for joining me, my friend, and happy cutdown day. I guess not really happy cutdown day because it's not a happy time, but it's at least a time we know that that football games are legitimately close.
But you could also, if you want to spin it positively, it is a happy day for some guys who've really worked their tails off their whole lives, who, you know, find out that, you know, today they did not get released. Now, just so people know, that doesn't mean that if a player today, you know, is on the quote-unquote 53-man roster, that does not mean that he's going to stay there after tomorrow or the next day, because the Bills could claim a guy tomorrow and then move somebody off the roster to do that, obviously. But yeah, today is obviously a sad day for a lot of guys who are going to be told that they're no longer, you know, on football teams. And some of those players will never play in the NFL. And unfortunately, their careers and dreams end. But for other people, I think it will be a happy day that they know that all the hard work they've put in and they've been rewarded.
So, Sal, I want to start with the fullback position because I think it's pretty interesting. I know you wrote a column about it, and I kind of wanted to get your thoughts for the listeners here who may not have read the column yet. Of course, you go to WGR550.com, check out all of Sal's columns, which will be up today as well, and keeping everyone up to date on who is and isn't on the team. But, Sal, the fullback position, now that Patrick DeMarco has been placed on IR, his season is now over, and likely, I saw it, and I think you put that down as well, that it could potentially be his career is over here in Buffalo, as this is the last year of his contract. With that being said, what do they do now at fullback now that Patrick DeMarco's out for the season?
Well, as of right now, they have nobody on the roster. Remember, they moved Reggie Gilliam from fullback to tight end. He was an undrafted free agent out of Toledo. He was a guy who played fullback, tight end, and running back at Toledo. He's a very good special teams player as well. I'm not quite sure he's ready to play in the NFL, but if they feel he is, they could obviously put him in that spot. They could move him back there. But I thought it was curious that last week, you know, he goes through all of training camp, then literally the last week of camp, he gets his position changed and his number changed. And, you know, that could mean that they just wanted him more every day working with the tight end group for some reason. You know, it doesn't mean that they can't put him back to fullback. Maybe that's the route they go. Or, to be honest with you, Nate, it might mean they just don't have a fullback anymore, right? I mean, I don't think, you know, there's no requirement that says you have to have one. Maybe the Bills just feel, you know, they want to go with an extra wide receiver. Maybe now it opens the door for a seventh wide receiver to be taken, to be kept, for a fourth tight end. They actually kept four last year because of Croft's situation at the time. But, you know, maybe they do that. So who knows, you know, what that means eventually. But right now, they do not have a fullback. Now, they could always go sign one. They could always go claim one off waivers. But I think that this team could very well go into the season with no true fullback on the roster, play a lot of spread formations, but when they want to use someone back there, I think they have tight ends that they might feel good about being an H-back type of role.
Yeah, Sal, and now I wonder what that means for the roster compilation as a whole, because now you kind of lump in the fullback position into running back when you make these sort of roster predictions for the 53-man roster. So now the Bills have four running backs that they're going into the season with, more than likely. How does that change, and where do you think the extra player gets picked up? Do you think it's offensively? Do you think maybe that's a seventh receiver that gets kept? Maybe that's an extra tight end, to your point, to maybe keep four positions to play a pseudo H-back or fullback position? Where do you think that gets made up?
It's a really good question, and a lot might hinge on John Feliciano's injury and what they do with him eventually, right? So I can just go off past history. The last 3 years, I went back and looked at every position, what they've done, how they've treated it the last 3 years. Now, some positions have They have kept a certain number one year and a different number the next year. But generally, there is a sweet spot where they've been, and it's pretty consistent in the Sean McDermott era. For example, since Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean have taken over in 2017, the Bills have only kept 9 defensive backs, corners plus safety, every single year on the first initial 53-man roster. But at the end of the season, they've had 10 defensive backs every single year. So they will use 10, but they've only kept 9. So if they want to go that route, Matt Perino, New York Upstate, reported this morning that Cam Lewis was let go. He was my 10th guy if they had kept 10 defensive backs. Maybe they still do. Maybe Dane Jackson squeezes on. But I suspect they're only going to go with 9 defensive backs. So where do you get another guy from in that scenario? If John Feliciano, let's go back to what I just said. If John Feliciano, you know, makes the 53 and then he's put on IR, that might mean that you get, you know, an extra lineman or even 2 because you just want to make sure that you have someone, you know, available. If John Feliciano makes a 53-man roster and doesn't go on IR because of his injury, you might keep an extra guy. You know what I mean? Because you just want to make sure while he's not on IR, you can do that. By the way, if he goes on IR, he can come back after 3 weeks because of the new rule. My 53-man roster projection after they IR'd Patrick DeMarco did have Cam Lewis, so that's not going to happen. I think you could keep an extra guy like Daryl Johnson, defensive end, someone like that. Yeah. Maybe a Mike Love even, but maybe a Vincent Taylor if you think that Vernon Butler's hamstring injury is going to linger. So to me, I think, Nate, it comes down to it's not necessarily the position. It's not what position gets another guy. It's which player can help us on special teams because we have an extra spot, and that can come from anywhere.
Sal, not a breaker, but Ian Rappaport just tweeted out about 2.5 minutes ago, the Bills are releasing linebacker Andre Smith, who the Bills acquired last week after trading with the Carolina Panthers. I would say that's rather surprising, considering they traded for him. And I guess that probably leaves the door wide open now for Tyrell Dodson after they've already let go of O'Shawn Joseph earlier this week.
Well, I think Tyrell Dodson was going to make the team anyway once that Thompson, Andrew, you got to remember Corey Thompson was also let go. I think once they released both those guys, that meant to me, and by the way, I've always had Tyrell Dodson making the roster from what I've seen in camp. When I heard from Leslie Frazier talking about him, to me, Tyrell Dodson was going to be the backup middle linebacker. I thought he earned the job, and I know that this team really likes him. So to me, that was always going to happen. A bit of a surprise that Andre Smith gets released after they traded for him immediately. But let's remember, it was a 2023 draft pick. Somehow, some way, you know, Brandon Bean can recoup that. I think it was that told me right there that there was never a guarantee he'd make the roster. He just felt that if they were going to make that move so close to cutdown day, he was probably going to be kept. But this also might mean that they feel good about other guys' health situation, you know, whether that's, you know, Josh Norman and Levi Wallace and guys like that who, you know, have been nursing some injuries, things like that. So, all right, so we'll see now if Andre Smith gets released, that's another guy that I had making it that is not. So where does the extra guy come from there? There was always going to be tough for me to justify keeping what would have been, 6 linebackers. 5 always seems like the right spot, but you could always say 6 if they kept Andre Smith. And we know Medikevich is going to be on the team for special teams as well.
Sal Capaccio here on the Wester Hotline. All right, Sal, offensively too, I kind of alluded to the potential of 7 wide receivers on the roster. Where do you think ultimately, maybe this is a better question before we get into specifics of positions. For people that don't know, what time do these rosters need to be finalized so that if you're out today but you're waiting to get all the news on all these players, like what time do each of these teams need to have their final roster in place and all their cuts made?
4 p.m. Eastern. 1 p.m. Pacific, obviously. So if you're on the West Coast listening on the radio.com app, just so everybody knows, it is 4 p.m. Eastern time. So by then, every team has to have submitted to the league their final cuts, their releases. We will know and we'll get an update from the team. It could be at 3 o'clock today. It could be at noon today. It could be at 4:05. It could be at 4:30. You know what I mean? But the league office has to know by 4 p.m. It doesn't mean we have to know everything by 4 p.m. We will get that eventually. As the day goes on, you're going to get a lot of... That's right. As the day goes on, you're going to get a lot of reports, as you just did, like Ian Rappaport, right? A guy had been released. Like, we're going to be able to piece a lot of this together as the day goes on, and then we'll see. But 4 p.m., and then the 24-hour. It's not actually even a 24-hour window, actually, Nate. It's only really a 20-hour window opens up for waivers. Anybody who's released who's been in the league less than 4 years will be subject to waivers. So every team in the league, starting at 4 o'clock, once they see everybody released, can put a waiver claim on that player. That ends at noon tomorrow. And then if a player has been in the league more than 4 years, four or more years, he immediately becomes a free agent if he gets released. He can sign with any team. The waiver wire is the same as the order is the same as the draft. So the Bengals will have the first selection there. And if the Bengals want, they can claim like five guys who get released. They don't have to go to the back of the line, basically, if they claim somebody. But that's what happens if a player gets released by 4 p.m. today who's had less than 4 years accrued service.
Sal Capaccio here on the Western Hotline. Sal, I'm interested in your take on, because of the COVID-19 situation, do you think that it's any more difficult for, if you're Brandon Bean right now, who might be looking across the league at guys getting cut right now, do you think, especially with the procedures players are going to have to go through if they do determine, like, they've got to come over here, they've got to go through quarantine, everything that needs to happen for a player to change teams at this point, do you suspect that there's less player movement happening in the lead up to this week, considering week one starts Thursday? Do you expect team guys that are fringe roster players that get cut one place that potentially have the chance to latch on somewhere else, that it might be more difficult to do that this year?
I do. I think even Brandon Bean kind of spoke about this a while back, where he said, given the...
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
The hurdles to get guys into your building and how long it takes, you know, teams might be a little more apprehensive on wanting to do that because you have to, you know, figure it out. They can participate in virtual meetings. They can do that. That's fine. They can learn the playbook. But I do think it's going to make teams think a little bit more, even on the waiver wire. So if a guy gets released, the team claims him, you know, they're going to have to wait 5 days for that guy to get in his building, basically. So, you know, what if you, and you have to basically, you have to carry him on your 53-man roster if you claim him. You know, you don't get an exemption. So you're going to have to, you know, think about how all that has to go down with your own team. And then a team might say it's just not worth it at this point. That might mean a team is more willing then to release a guy.
Right.
I don't know. Take a guy like Jake Fromm or Isaiah Hodges, mm-hmm. like guys we've talked about. Like, would they be risk losing them? Sure. I think there's risk in losing them, but the Bills may say there's less risk this year because we don't think teams are going to take the time to have to want to go through all those hurdles and make sure they get them. So we feel more confident we can get them back. I do think you'll see less movement in that regard. However, let's also remember there is a 16-man practice squad this year. Right. So I think that you might see teams, you know, jockeying a little bit more to get those guys in their practice squad, get them in their building. They don't have to be on the active roster. So that might mean some more movement in that regard. But I do think the active roster part of it, it's going to be interesting to see. But here's the thing, Nate, some teams may not feel that like that. They may say, no, like if we have a guy, we're going to do it. We're just going to go and we're going to get him and we'll get him acclimated into our program. So I think all 32 teams will have a different philosophy. By the way, another release here being reported by Field Yates. Bills undrafted free agent tackle Trey Adams. I know he was a favorite by a lot of people to possibly push for a roster spot. It was always going to be tough for him. He had a lot of injuries at Washington. He was thought to be a second and maybe even first round pick by many a few years ago. Had a lot of injuries, never really was able to recover from that. Went undrafted, was brought in as a UDFA, and I never really saw enough of him from camp for me to even justify ever putting him on my 53-man roster. So no surprise to me, but Trey Adams apparently has been released according to Field Yates.
Sale, and then we were kind of about to discuss wide receivers. Robert Foster, this week's name, popped up in a couple of reports about the Bills potentially trying to move Robert Foster in a potential trade. Do you expect... It's pretty clear. I mean, at this point, I would be surprised if they were able to swing a trade for Robert Foster. If that's the case, and they do end up cutting Robert Foster, they do have the additional practice squad spaces, and I get that, but they've got a lot of wide receivers that they're likely going to be parting ways with that they probably want to give a practice squad position to. But, I mean, what, are you maybe going to keep two receivers on the practice squad? I would probably be pressed to say if they get to three, that would be a lot. So what happens if Robert Foster gets waived? Do you expect this might be the last we hear of Robert Foster in a Bills uniform?
Well, first of all, let's start with, I actually think you could get something for Robert Foster. I think he would be a very, very good, interesting trade candidate for some people. I mean, he was one of the most productive receivers in the league the second half of 2018. He's still very young, and he's on a minimum contract. I mean, you know, if a team says, well, we'll just wait for you to waive him, well, you can't necessarily do that because another team could claim him if he gets waived. And I think Robert Foster, if he gets waived, he's going to get claimed. So I think Brandon Bean should be trying to trade him, and I do think teams would be interested in trading for Robert Foster. You could get a late-round pick. If you think another team's going to claim him before you, just, you know, offer a late pick to the Bills for Robert Foster. I think you could do that. Now, but if he doesn't find a trade partner, and teams say, you know, we'll take our chances, I think he gets claimed. And then if he doesn't get claimed... Sure, I think they would love to have him back on the practice squad. He wasn't just a receiver who was productive a couple years ago. He's also a guy who contributed on special teams last year when he played. He was a gunner. Now they have Tywan Jones. They don't need that necessarily. The other thing is, Nate, I don't know. I don't know what the numbers will look like this year with the practice squad. Remember, it's 16 players this year. So, you know, I don't know how a team might want to go two guys, three guys at one position. I would expect them to have four quarterbacks in their building. So whether that's two active and two practice squad or three active and one practice squad, if they only have two active, which I predict, then that would eat two roster spots up on the practice squad. But two receivers probably sounds right in the practice squad. I could see a scenario where they'd keep three because they do have 16. They actually get 17 if they want to give Christian Wade that exempt spot this year as well.
Sal Capaccio here joining me on the Western Hotline. We're talking Bills cutdown day, NFL cutdown day in general. Today at the 4 o'clock deadline, teams need to have their 53-man rosters locked down, and we'll be bringing you coverage all day here from 11 to 2 on Sports Talk Saturday. Sal, I wanted to get your thoughts on a couple other names around the league. Obviously, yesterday, the Miami Dolphins made some news cutting Josh Rosen. I won't ask you to say whether or not you think he's an option anywhere else, but I guess I want to ask you what your thoughts are about the Dolphins cutting him, considering the, I don't know, injury concerns that Tua Tagovailoa still has in his career ahead of him after coming off a pretty significant hip injury. And, I mean, Ryan Fitzpatrick's not getting younger. I mean, how many more? He's got 1 year left on his contract. It does seem interesting that they opted to let go of the young quarterback.
It just says a lot about him, I think, that they've decided to make this move now. They apparently wanted to trade him, no takers, and now they're going to release him. I think it says a lot about him. Sure, it does say I think they feel good about Tua's health, though. They have to. The only way that you're going to make this move is if you feel good that Tua's going to be ready when he's ready. He's ready soon, I should say. But Ryan Fitzpatrick most likely is going to start the season. He is going to be, you know, a placeholder until Tua is ready. I think this says a lot about Josh Rosen and where his career has not gone to this point. I do feel bad for him in a lot of ways that he's been, you know, in two different organizations, different offensive coordinators, different schemes, even, you know, the Dolphins from last year to this year changing offensive coordinators. So, you know, he hasn't really had that under his belt. But look, neither has Baker Mayfield. And Lamar Jackson had a switch. And Sam Darnold's had some switches. So, you know, He's in the same boat as some of those guys. Maybe not. Maybe I know they've all been with the same team, but those players have handled it better apparently and have performed better than Josh Rosen. As far as him being I guess there should be a team out there who would say, look, the kid's pedigree coming out when he did, you know, why not take a chance on him? I do not see the Buffalo Bills doing that. If the Bills wanted Josh Rosen, they would have drafted him ahead of Josh Allen. And I suspect there are reasons why they chose not to do that. that they just didn't feel comfortable with the player or, you know, the personality or whatever it is. I can't see that. Matt Barkley is the backup quarterback on this team. And I think the Bills feel very comfortable with that. He's on a pretty cheap deal for a backup. He's a veteran. They like having him around for Josh Allen. I don't know how you – I think you would kind of complicate that situation a little bit if you brought Josh Rosen in. Sure, could you keep him on the active roster? For what reason? You know, again, you could still keep Davis Webb and Jake Fromm on the practice squad. Maybe if he clears waivers, you put him on the practice squad or something like that. But I think this says a lot about Josh Rosen and where his career is not right now compared to, you know, where it could have gone.
Sale, lastly, less of a roster cutdown question and maybe more of an opportunity for you to expand on a player that I was having a couple of conversations. I was on the golf course yesterday, and a couple of guys were, I mean, for like three or four holes, we were talking about Saran Neal, which is kind of weird because he's a former like fifth round pick, and he's like the like sixth outside corner and maybe like a backup safety. But I think what a lot of people noticed about Saran Neal is his development from his rookie year to now, where he, like, the importance that he has on this roster, but really the development that we've seen from Saran Neal, where he's a mainstay on special teams. And frankly, Sal, I would have never guessed his rookie year that he would have been a viable option as an outside corner. That's not something I would have guessed by looking at his body frame, his body of work from college. Talk a little bit about, if you would, your thoughts of Saran Neal's development from year one to today and what his potential role could be moving forward this season.
Well, he's super versatile. I mean, I think that's, you know, the biggest thing about him as a defensive player. His number one role is he is a core special teams guy, and he is the main gunner on the outside. Now they have Tywan Jones as well, but Saran Neal is very good in that role. He has become a really reliable, solid gunner on special teams player. He made plenty of plays last year. I remember especially early in the season, he really helped them, you know, with field position in that regard. But on the defensive side of the ball, I've always felt he was better at safety, but the team has used him more at corner. And last year, after Taron Johnson got hurt, he really played the big nickel spot. That's kind of been his role. He's been that big nickel guy that Sean McDermott has used a lot going back to his Carolina days. And I still think they like him in that role. You know, if there's a bigger, remember, as you know, Nate, you know, slot receivers have grown in size over the years, right? It's not all Cole Beasley's out there now in the slot. And I think Saran Neal is a nice matchup to have if you want to put a guy in there. Plus, if tight ends now, they've been put in the slot. If you want to have a guy that can match up against a team that uses a tight end heavy, you know, in their sets, splitting him out, I think Saran Neal becomes an option there. I think that's what his role is. The problem with keeping him at safety is who do you take off the field? Because Micah Hyde's not coming off and Jordan Poyer's not coming off. But if you want to find a role for Saran Neal, you can do that. And yeah, in a pinch, he could play outside for you. I don't think that's the preferred spot for him. But if they were thin at corner, they'd feel okay. But I think Saran has done a really, really good job of adapting to his role since he's been in the NFL, and his role is ever-changing.
Sal, I can't let you go without your kind of off-the-hip here. Two or three quarterbacks. I'm looking across the league. Most teams are opting to go with two quarterbacks and then keeping one on the practice squad. I don't want to say I'm not surprised by it at all, but I would say you would think if you're going to keep three quarterbacks, this is the year to do it. With all of the COVID concerns, if you have one guy go down, all of a sudden you're asking a guy from the press. I don't know. I would think if any year you're going to keep three quarterbacks, this is the year you do it.
So I agree with you on that, but I still don't know what the Bills do. I wouldn't shock me. I've gone back and forth on this. It's 50-50, and I think that the third guy would be Jake Fromm, because I don't think anybody's claiming Davis Webb. That said, I think Davis Webb's actually had a pretty good camp. I think he's looked better than Jake Fromm. But think about the fact of Davis Webb being available versus Jake Fromm. I think Davis Webb probably gets through waivers. No one's going to be clamoring for him. But I think he did a really nice job. And let's go back to the Florida stuff when the team was getting together down there. He was a guy that was really instrumental in doing that. He was like a coach on the field. He has a ton of respect in the locker room from those players. I think Davis Webb is on your practice squad. So the question is, do you keep Jake Fromm on the 53 because you're concerned that another team claims him? And there might be a team out there that had a third or fourth round grade on him, but just at the time said, you know, we don't have room for another quarterback, but now they might. So they might say, yeah, you know, if he's available, we're going to take him. If you think that's the case and you really want to keep him in your building and to develop him, then you got to keep him on your roster. But at the same time, Nate, I'll say he's a fifth round pick, and, you know, he didn't wow anybody at camp. It wasn't like, oh my gosh, they got to keep this guy. And let's say they did expose him to waivers and another team picked him up, what are you really losing there? You could draft another guy in the fifth round next year if you want, to be quite honest, right? I mean, you could do that. Again, Matt Barkley's the backup quarterback. But yeah, for COVID reasons, I think they're going to want four quarterbacks in the building. That's different than saying three on the active roster. I think you could still keep two on the active roster, two on the practice squad. And let's remember, the rules are different this year. You can just activate another person from the active roster on game day to give you an extra person. You could go to 55. That person would not be subject to waivers on their way back down for a maximum of two times. So I think it's four players that they keep in the building, but I still think only two quarterbacks on the active roster.
All right, Sal, thanks for your time, my friend. We will be paying attention to WGR550.com for your tracking of these, and of course on your Twitter as well, at Sal Sports. Sal, we appreciate it, my friend, and enjoy your weekend.
Thanks, man.
All right, Sal Capaccio there on the Western Hotline.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.